want to welcome everybody tonight. The numbers look a little low tonight, but I'm glad everybody's here that is here. Tonight I'm going to talk about lying. You know, it's something that we learn not to do from when we're children, when we're small. And it's something that I think we don't really think about sometimes. You know, as I developed this lesson, I searched the internet trying to find some kind of dramatic story to give you to help you relate to the problem of lying. And I came up with a lot of stories that ended up with people headed in the wrong direction, people dying because of the lies that either were told about them or because of the lies they told themselves. I found a story that maybe isn't quite as dramatic, but struck me at a deeper level than most. See, there was this father. He was reading his daughter a story, his two daughters a story. They're fairly young, 4, 5, something like that. He was reading them the Madeleine books. If you've never heard of these, they're about this French orphan and these 11 little girls that go out into France and they see different things, and that's what the stories are about. Now, she obviously lives in an orphanage, and in this one story, it's called Madeleine and the Bad Hat, there is a little boy that moves in next door. There's one particular scene in the book. It's a picture book. It's definitely for kids. The drawings are very childlike. Where Madeleine and her 11 little friends and her nun companion are looking through the window out into the garden of the next door neighbor. The little boy that moved next door is in his garden that's green all around. There's flowers, it's beautiful, there's chickens. And he has this thing with him that he made, a guillotine. Now, it's kind of goes with the plot of the book. The plot of this book is that this little boy, he likes to hurt animals, but he's trying to impress these girls, and that's kind of where it's at. Now, the problem is as this father is reading this book, his little daughter looks over to him and says, "What's that, Daddy? What is that thing?" And what he says is, "Oh, that's for cutting onions." Turns the page and continues the story. That doesn't sound like such a bad lie, does it? Just a little fib. The guy that's telling the story is actually a blogger, and he's trying to justify telling lies. He wants to say that you can tell lies if you're going to save children's innocence. He's saying that you can lie to children. And he's trying to get all of his readers to believe that you can lie and it's okay. You know, I'm not a parent. I know that's got to be a tough situation to be in. And it'd make it life a lot easier if you could just say, "Oh, that just cuts onions." You know, there'd be a lot less crying, a lot less having to tell children where chicken nuggets come from. But turn with me to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs 23, starting in verse 22. It says, Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. We have to buy truth and not sell it. You know, it starts with mothers and fathers. That's why I learned to tell the truth. You know, in the context of this story, he could have told his daughters the truth without much issue. You could say, that is just something he's going to hurt those chickens with. He could have said something, you know, I'm not saying that he should have told them the history of the French Revolution or anything like that. Just that is something that could hurt those chickens. You know, lies are a selfish thing. We lie to protect ourselves all the time. Well, not all the time. We try not to. But, you know, he is justifying himself by saying he's protecting his children. But what he's really doing is protecting himself from the emotions that might happen. He's trying to protect his own feelings, not his kids. You know, people lie because we want other people to think more of us. We lie because we want to get the things that we want. But we shouldn't lie because it's a dangerous thing for both us and for them. I know that you've all heard the story of the boy who cried wolf. There was this boy. He was out in the field. He was really bored. He was watching his sheep. So he starts yelling, "Wolf, wolf, wolf." The villagers come out. They don't find a wolf. They go back home, kind of mad at the kid. Again, he does it. Again, the villagers come out. They go back home. And kind of mad at him. A third time, he's really bored, decides to yell, "Wolf, wolf, wolf," again. Only this time, well, the wolf was actually there. The villagers didn't listen. They didn't come to help. And in most versions, the little boy was eaten by the wolf. You know, it's a fable. We don't think it can actually happen, right? Again, in my research on lying, I was looking at different stories. And this doctor told this story about a patient that came into his ER. She was complaining of head pain. So they gave her the drug she was looking for. She did some CAT scans. And she went home. She did this 16 times. The ER started getting concerned. They were spending a lot of money on scans, a lot of money on drugs. She wasn't paying. So they looked into her background and they saw that she was going around from doctor to doctor getting drugs. The next time that she came to the doctor complaining of head pain, they turned her away. Well, it turned out that's the time that she had an aneurysm. That's the time that she died there in the ER waiting room. Lies will kill you. Lies can kill other people. Lies are never a good thing, no matter the size. In John 8, starting around verse 12, Jesus is talking to a group of Jews inside the temple. He starts out telling him that, he says this, in verse 12, he says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." That's a great message directly from Christ. But the Pharisees spoke up and they said, "Jesus, you're bearing testimony of yourself. We cannot believe you. What you're saying is not true." You know, it was the law that you couldn't accept the testimony of less than two people. Jesus went on to tell them about the nature of his relationship with God. How that he and the Father, he could say nothing that the Father did not tell him to say. And that the Father was his second. Those Jews, they said, "Show us the Father then. Show us the Father." Jesus said, you can't see the Father if you don't understand who I am. He goes on to tell them that he is the way to salvation. Some of the Jews believe him, and so he tells them more. He says, if you abide in my word, you truly are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They have a problem with this because they had never been in bondage. They were children of Abraham. They didn't understand what he was saying. In verse 38, Jesus says, I speak what I have seen from my Father, and you do what I... Verse 38, he says, I speak what I have seen from my Father, and you do what you have heard from your Father. There was some confusion going on there because they weren't of God. Starting in verse 42 of John 8, Jesus says this. Jesus said to them, I go where the Father... If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God, and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? Is it because you cannot hear to hear my word? You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do the father's desire, your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Most of us in this room are of God. But little fibs slip out. You know, when back in Genesis chapter 3, when Satan lied to Eve to get her to get the knowledge of God, he said, If you eat of that tree, you won't die, but you will be like God. What was his purpose? What was his desire? Was it to do something special for Eve? Was it to make her wise? It wasn't. What Satan wanted to do was to hurt God, to corrupt his creation, to be a murderer, to cause the death of what God created. He is the father of lies. Whose child are you? Are we children of God? Our God wants truth. He wants his truth. Jesus came to this world to save us from the devil, to save us from the father of lies. Are we the children of the father of lies? If we lie, we are. The devil doesn't care about us. He only cares about what's in it for him. And his lying leads to death. So let's not lie to ourselves. Let's examine ourselves and decide who it is that we are going to serve. You know, lying to yourself is extremely easy. I do it every morning, actually. I get up, I go into the bathroom to take a shower, I look in the mirror, and I say, oh, you're a good-looking guy. Well, my mirror is only this big. I can't see that I'm actually a big, you know, large guy. You know, it's easy to not remember what I looked like 7 years ago. You know, I've grown this beard to cover up my weight gain in my face. Try not to look in full-size mirrors. I try not to look at pictures from 7 years ago. Try not to stand on the scale. You know, I know I'm a big guy, but I don't need to be confronted with it, right? James chapter 1, starting in verse 22, it says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he is like. But the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty and perceives, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." James wants us to look into that perfect law of liberty. He wants us to see the flaws in us, and he wants us to change those flaws. You know, lying to ourselves is doing the exact thing that we don't want to do. It's like hearing that we have a problem and going out and doing nothing, but then still expecting a reward. You know, this is just as bad as lying to someone else. We're still serving that father of lies. We're still headed towards our death. In Mark 7, the Pharisees had caught Jesus' disciples eating without washing their hands. And they confront Jesus with this, and they say, "Why is it that your disciples are going against the traditions of our fathers?" This was Jesus' reply, starting in verse 6. He says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the traditions of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother.' Whoever reviles father and mother must surely die. But you say, 'If a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is korban, that is, given to God,' then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and many such things you do." The Pharisees were masters at lying to themselves. They said they loved God, but they did the exact opposite of what he wanted. And they justified it, trying to find loopholes in the word. Loopholes that let them do whatever. Let them do whatever and still feel good about who they were. But they were lying to themselves if they were thinking they were pleasing God. If you go down into verse 14, it says, "And he called the people to him again and said to them, 'Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside of a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him.'" Jesus' disciples, they were eating with dirty hands. No bad at that. I mean, there's nothing bad that's going to cause them to do anything bad. These Pharisees, though, their hearts were filled with lies, filled with disgustingness. They looked at their parents as a burden and said, "I don't have to do anything with that if I give all my money to God, if I make it a gift to God." They treated their parents like trash. They defiled themselves in their own hearts. And they tried to justify their actions. You know, it's incredibly easy to convince yourself that you are doing something that the Bible says. What are the things in your life that are Corbin like this? What are the things in your life that you are doing because you think that's what that the Bible says? We have the perfect law of liberty to look at. It shows us how to live. It shows us how to act. Are you a hearer and a doer? Or are you walking away from that mirror, forgetting what you see? Don't lie to yourself about these questions. We shouldn't be looking for loopholes. God's word should send us towards repentance. We shouldn't be trying to use it to justify actions or justify inactions. It's not what it's there for. It's to lead us to God. You know, we shouldn't lie to others. We shouldn't lie to ourselves. We definitely cannot lie to God. It is an impossibility, but we still try. I came across this video of these two little boys, and they had gotten into the fridge. They'd gotten a big tub of butter out. They took it into the bathroom, and they were playing with it. And one boy had it all the way up to his elbows. The other boy, his entire head was slick with butter. It was absolutely disgusting. Mom found out, and she confronted these boys with it. And they stood there, and they tried to explain how they weren't doing anything wrong, how, I don't know, I didn't listen to the whole thing because it was just kind of hilarious, them trying to defend themselves from what mom clearly knew was the truth. You know, this is what it's like when we try to lie to God. It's so ridiculous that you think God doesn't know. In Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, they sell a piece of land. They had made this scheme up between themselves that they're going to keep a portion of it, but they're going to tell the church that they had given everything. I don't know why they would come up with the scheme. In Acts 4, it could be that Barnabas did something similar, but when he gave everything, he got acclamation. They called him Barnabas. They called him Son of Encouragement. It was a great thing. Maybe they wanted that. I don't know. But what they did was they lied to the Holy Spirit. And in lying to the Holy Spirit, it was unacceptable to God. He struck them dead. Lying is not a light thing. There's no such thing as a small fib. We cannot lie to God. Lying to the Holy Spirit is clearly fatal. In Galatians 6 and verse 7, it says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will one reap." Don't lie to yourself. You can't lie to God any more than those two boys with their buttery heads could lie to their mom. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 says, "Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test." We were taught since we were small not to lie. But ideas like fibbing, ideas like lying to protect the innocence of children, they sneak in. This is what the world believes. Those things can hurt you. They will hurt you. They will separate you from God. Lying is from the father of lies. And he wants nothing good. He wants to destroy you and he wants to hurt you. So my question to you is, who is it that you serve? Are you serving God the Father? Or are you serving the devil? Are you serving the father of lies? Don't lie to yourself about this question. Serving the father of lies will lead to your death. There is no question about it. But serving God the Father will lead to life. Now, this wasn't a gospel sermon, really. But that is what the truth is. The gospel is the truth. The gospel is what saves us. Christ coming down from the Father to us in order to save us by being rejected by the people that he came to, by being hung on the cross, by dying, by being put into the grave, by resurrecting again. That is what saves us. When we follow that pattern, when we go into baptism and recreate Christ's death, that is when our sins are forgiven. That is when we can truly start serving the Father of life. Please, don't take this lightly. God loves you, and he wants you to be with him. Now, if you've struggled with lying, if you've struggled with just being part of this world, letting it sneak in, we can help you with that. It's what the church is for. Please, when we sing, please come forward. If you do want to be baptized, if you do want to recreate what Christ did for you so that you can become a new creature, please come forward as we stand and sing.